Gospel according to Mark, 13th chapter. Jesus said, "But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that hour or day, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. Do you not know when that time will come? It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." The Gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated? Could I have the children come down for the children's sermon? Last words. Last words are important. Last words that people speak are often important words, or we think that they're important. We kind of give special attention to those words. For example, when someone is dying, a deathbed confession often holds what? A lot more weight, doesn't it? The last words that a political leader, a teacher, some kind of important person speaks often carries great weight. We want to remember those words. We want to think about those words. A military leader, he can give all the instructions that he wants, but the last words that he gives are usually the first things that he wants, you know, carried out. Last words, they're important. Think about those of you whose kids are still little. Well, and those of you who had small kids at one time, the last words that you said to your children as they got out of the car at Grandma and Grandpa's or the boss's house were often said what? Slowly. Hoping that somehow it would reach deep into their minds and they would think before they acted. I'm not sure how that worked all the time, but, you know, we always hoped. Last words. Well, what we have before us in this gospel lesson are not exactly the last words that Jesus spoke, but what we have is the last speech that Jesus gave. This is the last speech that he gave to his disciples. And so as his last speech, it was probably something that he considered to be pretty important. And so it is. So we're going to take a look at this speech today. And what led up to this is kind of important too. So the disciples had ridden into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It had been a festive celebration as Jesus rode in. People were screaming his name. Palm fronds were being waved. Clothes were being thrown on the ground. Donkeys were, you know, just pandemonium and chaos. People were excited. They believed that the Messiah had come. This person that they had waited for hundreds of years was going to come, change the world as they knew it. And then Jesus goes to the temple. And while he was there, he overturns tables of the money changers, tears open the cages of the birds, lets the animals loose. Can you imagine this scene? Think about this. Talk about chaos. Can you imagine birds flying everywhere, animals all over the place, money flying up in the air, and people going what? Some of them are cheering, what a wonderful thing. Others are going, oh my word. And the disciples are going, have you lost your mind? What are you doing? So depending on who you were, it was either great joy or horror. And then Jesus spends the next 3 days teaching in the temple. And not just teaching, but he's kind of verbally sparring with the scribes, the Pharisees, the other religious leaders. And when it's done, on Wednesday afternoon, he leaves the temple area. And the disciples, you know, they're just amazed by, and we would be too, by the architecture. Beautiful temple. Huge stones. I think I measured it out one time, and it's like some of the stones were as long as almost back here and huge, set on top of one another. And they said, isn't this amazing? And Jesus said, well, I got news for you. You see all this great stuff that you think is so fantastic? It's all going to be a pile of rubble. Not one stone will stand upon another. Well, you know, that's kind of scary stuff. Why? When? How? And so he goes into this speech. You can take a look at this. It's the 13th chapter of Mark. It's known as the Little Apocalypse. It talks about stars falling, earthquakes, famines, all this horrible stuff. And they said, well, when's this going to happen? When? Wouldn't you want to know? If somebody said this whole building was going to be gone one day, just a pile of sticks, wouldn't you want to know when? How? Whatever? I would. Because I want to make sure I'm not in the building that day. Probably you would too. Maybe we try to stop it. And so that's where the lesson for the day comes in. Now, over the years, people have tried to use this passage in a number of different ways. One of the things that often happens is people look, I don't know, maybe you've heard this. Maybe you've even thought it. You know, you look around the world today, is it a real peaceful place? Nah. Kind of chaotic, things going on. Are we in the end times? You ever heard people talk about that? We're living in the end times. And if you're living in the end times, what did you better do? You better watch out, you better repent, because what? The end is near! And God will get you. As if somehow we can scare people into believing in Jesus. Yes. Wrong thing. Doesn't work that way. You don't scare people into believing in God. You don't do that. What always amazes me is people, you know, they read all this stuff and then they get on and they talk about all these different things. There's this sign and that sign. If you go back and you read the lesson that we just read, Jesus says this. No one knows the time, not even the Son, only the Father in heaven. Now, I can't figure out if Jesus doesn't know the time, how these other people can. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. How can you be smarter than Jesus? But this isn't a passage of doom and gloom. This is a passage of hope. When you stop and think about it, this isn't a bad passage. This is a good passage. It's easy when you read this to focus on all the disasters, all the bad things that are going on. But you know, when you, if you look at the world, if you go back to the beginning of history, has there ever been a time when there hasn't been a famine? Has there ever been a time when there hasn't been an earthquake, a flood, a tsunami, a volcanic eruption? People don't get along with each other. Has there ever been a time when that hasn't happened? Nope. What's the difference? Fact is, we just communicate faster today. That's the only difference. It's the only difference. So as I was thinking about this, I thought, What's the end all about? What's going to happen at the end? What's supposed to happen? Christ will come. Great. Now, if the end is about Jesus coming again, if the end is about him making his kingdom on earth, if the end is about us being a part of that kingdom, if the end is about this thing that we hope and dream and wish and pray for, then why are we so afraid of it? Why are we so afraid of the end? This is going to be amazing, magnificent, fantastic. You're going to be part of God's kingdom. But maybe the reason is we're just really not ready. Because why? Well, we're not sure if we're ready yet. It's not that it's a bad thing. Question is, are you ready? And that's what this whole thing is about. Being ready. I forget, there's something like 6 times in 3 verses where Jesus says, watch, be on guard, be alert, on guard, you know, over and over and over again. Be ready. What? Be ready for Jesus coming again? Be ready because he does come. He will come. He does come. He comes every day. Sometimes we just don't see it. So what can we do to get ready? How do we stay alert? Well, let's see. I got one. We've done this one before. We'll do it again. Read it. This is a letter from your best friend in the whole world. It's always good to read it. You know, there's all kinds of mail that comes. I loved the mail during the political season this year. Wasn't that horrible? Holy mackerel. How many trees did they cut down for that? You know, if you send me a letter, this is the way I sort my mail. If it's got a printed label, it goes to the side. If it's got one of those things that's bulk mailing, unless it's from another church, it goes in the trash. But if you hand write the address, what? I look at it right away. This is a handwritten letter from your best friend. And he wants you to know how much he cares about you. So take the time to read. Take the time to pray. Now, prayer is an interesting thing. We often use prayer like, giving Santa Claus your Christmas list. You know, you go sit on his lap and you tell him what you want. A lot of times when we talk to God, it's kind of like going to Santa Claus. We sit on his lap and we tell him how he ought to do the world. I figured it out. If God would do the world my way, everything would be great. Well, don't you ever feel that way? If God had just listened to you, everything would be fine? Sure. But it's not like that. It's about listening. That's what the book's all about. That's what this is all about. That's what prayer is all about. It's about listening. But listening's difficult to do. It's hard to do because there's so much chaos and confusion and noise in the world. And at this time of year, there's more chaos and noise and confusion in the world. It's really hard. It's hard to hear yourself think. Your husband, your wife, your children, your friends. God? Well, you know, we'll get there someday. Take time to listen, to pray, to read. Second, be connected with the community. And the community that God calls us to be connected to is the community of one another, His church. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a guy going on a trip, and he leaves the servants in charge. Each one has his own task, and they wait for the master to return. Now, if you're taking care of a mansion, you have a job to do, right? But what happens if not everybody works together? What happens to the mansion? Falls apart. So even though you have your own job to do, what do you have to do? You got to work together. God's kingdom is about working together. The church is about working together. Unfortunately, churches often become a spectator sport, or it's become something that we do as individuals, kind of like playing tennis. You know, one person against another. And actually, church is more like a football team. Does everybody on a football team have a job to do? Even if you don't like football. Everybody has a job to do. But they all have to do what? If you got the linemen all going this way, and the quarterback going this way, what happens? Nothing. Chaos. There we go. Alabama girls just watched too much football yesterday. You get sacked. You have to work together. My favorite football coach is a guy by the name of Vince Lombardi. I think he was the greatest football coach that ever lived. I don't care what you think. You have your right to be wrong. And so do I. Anyway, I think he was a fantastic football coach, but he also had a lot of really great sayings. And his teams were some of the most successful that ever played. And this is what he had to say about teamwork. Individual commitment to a group effort, that's what makes a team work. A company work, a society work, a civilization work, and he could have added a church work. Teams do not go physically flat, they go mentally stale. Teamwork is what made the Green Bay Packers, you know, what they were all about. They didn't do it for individual glory, they did it because they loved one another. We don't do what we do for individual glory, we do it because what? We love one another and we love the Lord. But if we don't work together, then it all goes flat. And finally, remain alert. When you go around your day, when you're going to work tomorrow, to school, wherever you might happen to be, the coffee shop, do you look for Jesus? Might be surprised. He might be there. I often find him in places I don't expect him to be. He likes a cup of coffee every once in a while. He likes to go shopping at Fred Meyer, as much as I don't. He likes to drive down the road sometimes, along with all the other crazy people trying to get parking spaces. But we need to look, to be aware, to be alert for who and where and when he'll show up. And that's what this passage is all about. Watch. Be ready. But if we don't read, if we don't listen, if we don't work together, if we get so caught up that we lose things, then we miss out on the most wonderful gift that there is in the world. Be ready. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.